Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother Joshua Herrera. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
So I'm very thankful that I could call upon some wonderful men of the body here. And the one that was called upon for this morning's assignment was Brother Joshua Herrera. And let me just give you those who maybe don't know him. I've known him now for 8 years. He's been worshiping for Amazing Grace for many years here with us. He also does recording. He's got a studio at home. He does a lot of things in Spanish, I believe. And maybe one day you two could hook up and do something in Spanish. Amen? And that'll be a blessing. And we're excited to have him here this morning. He's always here every Sunday, but to bring the Word of God. And I know that we're going to be focused on the Word this morning because he's about the Word. Just like we've always been here, amen? Amazing Grace is about the Word. And it's the Word of God that sustains us, amen? And so without any further ado, let's all receive Brother Joshua Herrera by saying, praise the Lord.
I know it's cliche to say, how many are happy to be in the Lord's house today? You know, we all have a perspective of how we see things in the Christian life, but the way I see the Christian life is that every day is we're walking with Christ, and we cannot let any day go out without worshiping God, because our body and the way we are, we were created to worship what? Worship Him. How many can say amen to that today? Well, I'm always excited to give the Word, and I feel always encouraged to bring a word to you. And I always tell Pastor, whenever you're ready to get a break, just let me know. As much as it's a practice for me, but also a privilege for me to speak the Word of God, because I cannot go out without doing the Word and doing the will of God by explaining to anyone and to everyone how much God loves them. Amen. So today I want to open up your Bibles right now. We're going to I'm always very short, and I like to respect people's time, but this word today is something special, because in a world that we live right now, there needs to be transformation, and there needs to be change. And in the book, in the key verse that I'm going to be reading off today, it's Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. And the word says in Romans 12:2, it says in the NLT version, I like this, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How many can say, thank you, God, because you have great things for me and you please yourself in us, Father. So in a world right now where it seems that it's constantly changing, we as Christians have become more like the world. I'm going to say you right now. And have copied its behavior, its customs. Ain't no different from the way it was back then. We see it now today, where we got so used to following the trends on what's happening in the world, and we tend to copy the same things too. And we fall into that category sometimes as Christians. We follow what the world is saying. Now, is it because, the question is here, is because we're weak in our faith? Or is it because we are losing the faith in God? Or is it because we're solely not in our word anymore? That's what happens. Because when you're weak and you're not reading off the word of God, then you're not eating the word of God, then what's going to happen? You're going to become weak in faith. So the culture is drastically changing. And as sons of God, we need to transform the world and not the world transform us. So Romans 12:2 explicitly indicates, don't copy, again, the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you. When I think about the word change in our life, we think about changing something old to something new. Or better yet, change old habits into some good habits. We have also heard that transforming your image can lead to better and greater things. Humans tend to use these two words interchangeably, but let me tell you right now, they're different. They differ and are two separate things. We have intertwined these words to mean the same thing when in reality they are totally different. And Webster, my good Webster in the dictionary, says that transformation, meaning the first one that I got here, was an act, process of instance and transforming or being transformed, Pastor. Change means to make a shift from one to another. To put fresh clothes on or covering on. So you see, anybody can change anything from the outside, but the individual remains the same inside. Things can always look outside, look good, but in the inside, we are dying. People use the word transformation to talk about many things that are happening in their personal life. I'm being transformed into a new man. I'm being transformed inside because that word meant something to me. But in this, right now, I want to talk about is that the word transformation to talk about is, again, we're using it to remodel, to change something, to bring something out of you different. But the transformation that the world is saying is always exterior. The transformation in Christ is to work within you. It's very different. So it's understandable to think that the transformation for Christians means we improve ourselves and our behavior so we appear more Christ-like on the outside. See, I can teach a monkey to do something and it's going to copy the behavior that I do. So you heard that saying, monkey see, monkey do? Exactly the same way. It doesn't make any difference what a monkey will do at the same time. So I want to kind of go into this just, but the biblical meaning of transformation has nothing to do with our outward behavior or self-improvement. I hear Christians say sometimes, I'm going to be careful with this, but I got to become a better me. A better me, a better me. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying these words, but when you say that, you're depending again on yourself and you put the Holy Spirit to the side. Let me just talk about that for a moment. I gotta become a better person. I gotta change my evil ways. But no, the Holy Spirit does the changing, does the transformation. So when you give time and you give the space that the Holy Spirit needs, the change will come. You see, I wasn't telling myself, I gotta change. I let Christ do the work in me. That's how it is. It's inwards and it works outwards when people see you. Simply trying to conform to the words we read in the Bible is like, again, I was saying, monkey imitating the actions of a human being. What you see is mere learned behavior, not a genuine expression of a human. That's because the monkey doesn't have the life of a human. It's different. So if you read, if you open your Bible in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, but we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord Spirit. So this verse doesn't say we are being transformed by improving our behavior. It's not talking about that. Here, being transformed is connected to our beholding the glory of the Lord. It's different. When we behold the Lord in our fellowship with him, something wonderful happens. It says, when we with unveiled face are beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord, he infuses us with the elements of what he is and what he has done. Thus, we are being transformed metabolically to have the first thing here, if you want to write this down, metabolically transformed. The first one is his life shape. The second, his life power, with three, his life essence. These three things are being worked in us. That is that we are being transfigured mainly by the renewing of our mind. And Romans 12:2 indicates that, into his image. Being transformed indicates that we are in the process of transformation. Can you say that with me? I'm in the process of transformation. The change is gonna come, but I need to first be transformed. again through Christ. How many can say amen to that? I want to talk about today being transformed by the renewing of our mind and by that changing the way we think. When Jesus came to earth, he came to change lives, but most importantly, he came to transform the inner man from his sinful ways. Jesus wanted to work within our hearts because he knew our hearts were broken and so far from the truth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." How many can say thanks to God that I'm a new creature, that the old has passed away and I can see clearly now ahead of me because I have a renewing mind and everything's being freshly deposited to my mind daily and every day is new in Christ. So in order to get to the new, we have to be transformed into a new creation in Jesus. There is a process. We have to respect the process in Christ. So the old has to die first, and then the new creation in Christ must arise. You see, Christ came to transform your life. He came to work inwardly, not outwardly. In order for that outwardly to shine, you need to let him work inwardly in your life daily, in layman's terms, to be very practical. To put in raw form, anybody can change their draws inward and outward, leftward and rightward, and still you will not be able to hide the stains. I'm just being raw for you a little moment right here. I don't care how much you wash that with Fabuloso, if you're going to wash it with Tide, it's still going to be there, and it's still going to stink. So you need to let Christ work within you first to cleanse you from the deep within, to remove the stains from sin. That's the way it works. So we need to respect the process that we're walking in right now. Probably you've been pushing the time ahead because, God, I have to change. I have to change. But God says you have to rest in me. My yoke is what? Is easy. Cast all your cares. Why are you going to the old man, into the old ways again? If Christ is telling you that I'm going to deliver you from all that, all you have to do is just rest upon me right now. We need to respect the process that we're in, brothers. Don't get carried away in fleshly thinking, but let yourself be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So I want to give this analogy. I love giving analogies. How many saw the movie Forrest Gump, that life is like a box of chocolates? You never know what you're going to get. But I took this, and the Holy Spirit deposited this into me. And it says, when you buy a box of chocolates, it looks good from the outside with its decorations and nicely fitted bow. But what's important is what's inside the box. Nobody cares of what's outside anymore because they know the value it has inside is far more greater than what's outside. The box does not have value by itself, but what is inside that gives the box value. In the same way, when we are in Christ, you get value, purpose, and direction. When you let the Holy Spirit direct you, Jesus lives in you, and what transforms us and gives us value. Without Christ, we were just an empty box. But he came to fill in that void that gave us life and worth. See, I don't care how good the box looks outside and how good you look outside as a Christian. What I'm worried about is the fruits that you're giving. See, when you're in Christ and you let God minister to you and work through you, there's going to be fruits. And by your fruits, what? You're going to be known. How are you going to be a light to this world when you're still in darkness and still in a sinful way? People cannot see the value in you because all they're seeing is someone who's just doing the walk but not doing the talk. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what you have to do. And I'm so thankful that every day is new, because if every day is new, I have a new day to start in Christ. And I can trust in him that his favor will be upon my life. I want to say this. In John 14, it says this in verses 16 to 17. Jesus promised us in John 14, and he asked the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, the world does not understand this, because if you're going to understand the things of Christ, you have to have the Holy Spirit in you so you can get the revelation of what the Word is saying to you at the very moment. You see, you have purpose in you. When you receive Christ Jesus, you also receive those things attached to you. A good friend of mine, Pastor Little, that passed away a while back ago, will always say, when you receive Christ, you have the blessings, attachments onto that. What are those attachments? You got favor with you. You have the grace upon you, but you have salvation with you too. The greatest reward that you can receive today is the salvation and through the blood of Jesus Christ that came to save you and to bring a new life into you, to transform everything in your life, to bring out the new man in you. Not once moment did I say, I got to become a better me. It's not about becoming a better me. Or yes, we like to say, because they're nice quotes, I'm going to have to live my better life today. Yes, we can all live our better life, but in Christ. If we continue reading John 14 and verse 27, it says this, I'm leaving you with the gift, peace of mind and heart, Pastor. And the peace that I give as a gift, the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. 28 says this, remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you will be happy that I am going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen. So when they happen, you will believe. We have a sick generation who does not believe who Christ is, and they have not met their Savior yet. But it's through the transformation within your lives that people are going to see it. And how are they going to see that if we're not walking? Pastor said a while back, and I'm just piggybacking on that, Pastor. You said that we have to give our backs to sin. Christians have not given to the old ways because they want to continue living the life in this world, in the riches, in the things what the world has to offer. That's why we continue living the old man always, and God cannot do the renewing in your life. It's plain and simple. When change is coming, it says this, that you will have to go through the desert at times. And the storms may come your way, but everything we go through is for growth in Christ. In order for transformation to come, you have to go through the process. That's how we get refined. We have to go through the fire. And something beautiful is going to come out of that. I love this. And I want to give another analogy right now. How many know the story of a butterfly? Metaphorically speaking, metabolically speaking, this butterfly, figuratively speaking, has to go through a change, but that change sometimes has to hurt. It's gonna hurt sometimes, and you're gonna fall again, and maybe you might fall again, and you feel sometimes you feel left out that Christ is not with you anymore because you're such a bad sinner. But the enemy comes to deceive you, to take away your joy, but Christ came to give and add to your life and to restore whatever was stolen. This butterfly in the metamorphosis as it's going, it's the pupa, the caterpillar stage. During this stage, the caterpillar old body dies and a new body forms inside its protective shell as a chrysalis. It's amazing how in Christ we die to the old man and the new man is formed spiritually. The butterfly, not only in the process, is being transformed, like I said, but it's figuratively speaking, it goes through the tough process. Christians, we're going to go through a tough process, and we're seeing it now in these days. We see war and rumors of war. But what are you doing as Christians? I'm so happy right now to actually see Christians in Ukraine even worshiping through the process of it. But they see the change one day is going to happen, because the change is not going to be seen here, but it's going to be seen in heaven when we see our Creator and we get to worship Him 24/7 with the angels and the cherubims. We're going to be able to say, here I am, Father. I came and you saw me And here I am on my knees because I want to worship you in spirit and in what? And in truth. Thank you, Father. You know, I see how many Christians always fall back into getting sad when they see these things. And the Lord talked about this. And he said, don't be saddened because the day is coming when I'm coming back. Psalms 35 says this, chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. So stop living in sadness. Stop living and contemplating what God is doing. Respect the process. So stop struggling saying you have to change. I grew up hearing these words, Pastor. I don't know if you did. But I grew up saying, I have to change. I have to change. In Spanish, you say, échale ganas. Échale ganas. You can do it. And we have all these forms in the Latin culture. You can do it. You can do it. Si se puede. Si se puede. I'm glad for these sayings. But don't fall back into your own strength again because you're going to fail. Am I setting you for failure? No, I'm not. I'm asking you to start depending more in Christ and less in yourself. Psalms 46 says this, be still and know that I am God. If God is saying to you, and I can only tell you right now, this is the only thing you're going to remember today. Be still and know that I am God. Now, Pastor, I like to get into the meaning of things. This, it sounds beautiful. It sounds nice. But if you go into the Hebrew meaning for being still, it says this. The phrase is actually derived from the Hebrew word rapha, which means to be weak. What? How can I be weak? It means to be weak, to let go, and to release. How many Christians are still holding on to baggage, not letting go of things, holding to them? Again, I say, my yoke is easy. Rest upon me, says the Lord. Essentially, it means to surrender. We all like to have control of things, Pastor. We don't want to let go. Again, sometimes our character comes back into place because I'm a type of person that likes to hold on to things sometimes. I just want to be transparent for a moment with you. I hold on to things, and God is telling me every day, why do you continue going back to the same place where I took you from? If you knew right away how I saved you, why do you have to go back into the old ways of the old man that you were before? Stop fighting your way through life and let God be. Zechariah says this in chapter 4, 6. This is the word of the Lord from Zerubbabel. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Again, I don't have to become a better me. It's not through my strength. It's not through my might. But it's the Holy Spirit that lives within you that's going to give you the might and the power to walk through whatever situation and whatever storm you're going through right now. Thank you, Jesus. The transformative process in Christ is continual. And without Christ, we can never. I want to leave you with these 3 points right now. Using Romans 12:2. If you want to write this down. The first one, again, we go back into, don't copy the behavior and customs to the world. Remind yourself of this every day. Post it on your car. Post it on your fridge. The only thing that's going to happen is going to lead you astray and to the opposite direction. Number one, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Second, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And it says that you learn how to be still so you can let God work with you on a personal level. That's the only time I get to hear Christ, when I'm quiet and still, and I totally surrender my life to him at that very moment when I need to speak to him. And number three, learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Be open and always on standby to hear from God. You have to be intentional to hear God's voice. His plans are better than our plans. Stop going through life trying to live your plans, because your plans got you to where you're at right now. You know, I want to give a short little testimony about my life, Pastor. I want to talk about a little about how my growth in Christ. Back in 2008, we all grew in a church probably, and we all probably heard the word through our parents, through our grandparents, and throughout those years brought a transformation in our lives. But there comes a time, a pivotal moment, where you need to have a re-encounter with Christ again. And in church, I remember before having the pastor would, before we come up to the to prayer and pray for people, he would ask this question: how many want to recommit their lives to Christ again? How many want to surrender their lives again? And I was asked myself, Pastor, so I thought they were recommitted already, God. Why is it that they have to continually coming back and back again? But you know why? Because God's grace and God's favor. That's why us as Christians, even though in this bodily flesh, we still live in it, in this cocoon, in this shell, even in the process, God is still going to have to see us through, because his word has promised us that his grace, his favor. I cannot fathom and I cannot stop saying that when we walk through those gates, one day God is going to say to us, how was your life on earth? How was your life with the rest of the people that you were relating to? I want my life to be an example right now, on place, on earth right now, so people can still see the light. Christ gave you that light, and that's the Holy Spirit in you. So when I come to Christ and I come to this pulpit, Pastor, to recommit my life to him, it's with a greater purpose, because my life wants to continually be transformed. That's why I come here. Not because I want people to see me, not because I want people to start seeing that, oh, look at me from the outside, but because I want people to see that Christ is still real and Christ can still change lives, and God can bring you to a place where you thought you couldn't be at anymore and bring you back from the ashes, and you can see the person that he wanted you to be. Not me trying to be the better me, but God doing the good work in me. I'm being transformed. That's what Christ wants in our lives every day, being transformed. I want you just to close your eyes. Close your eyes for a moment. We're coming to a close right now. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up right now. I want the worship team to come up here. Something is going to be happening today. And I know there's going to be the rooms, the healing rooms. Now, it's amazing that God deposited this, because in the healing rooms, there comes a process of transformation. If God's going to transform your life, you have to give your back to the world. You have to give back to the sin. You got to stop doing the things that got you in there in the first place. Start thinking about the things that God has for you already. I do this intentionally. God, what do you want from me? God, start revealing to me right now. What is it that you want for my life? What is it that when I step out through these doors, you're going to start doing in my life? Start asking God, not so much that I'm so tired, God, of seeing the same things over and over again, but start asking God, what am I going to do with the situation, God? How are things going to be changed around me? And what needs to be transformed right now? Let's start praying right now in the Spirit. Everybody start praying in the Spirit right now. And start praising God. And start asking God in the process right now what he has to reveal to you right now. Because there's going to be prayer today. And in that prayer, things have to be released. Things have to be transformed. And the change will come. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you right now. We're asking for direction, God. We're asking that you start doing the wonderful in our lives. But in order to get to the wonderful, Father, you need to start working in me, and I need to be let worked in, Father. God, I'll be the first one that I need transformation daily, God, because your word is going to start actually falling on good ground today, Father, because your word is going to start changing lives. People are going to be listening to you, but I want to be that light, Father. And I pray for every individual in this place right now. They start seeing the change. They start seeing what's going to happen intentionally. They're going to start seeing and practicing new things, Father. Fresh things are going to start coming into the mind, Father. I pray for that, God. A change will come. A change will come, Father. So the transformation, Father. Yes, God. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Start speaking right now, Father. Start speaking, God. Sing a new song wherever you're at right now. Sing a new song. God will hear you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise your name, God. We praise your name, Father. Start working right now, Father. Start healing right now, God. As we go out through these doors today, start healing right now. We worship you, Father. Start healing in the name of Jesus. The healing process starts right now in this place. Heavenly Father, God, we come right now, Father. We come before you right now. Pastor Matthew, come on, come on. I think it would be a good time right now. Start asking people to come up and start doing some prayer right now. Say amen.
And I really feel the presence of the Lord right now. I believe the Holy Spirit, through our brother, has spoken. And many of us, sometimes on a daily basis, the Bible does say that we sometimes miss that mark. But with God, all things are possible. With Christ, He will renew us. And I love what the Word of God says. His mercies are day by day. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's awesome. Awesome in power. Awesome in might. It is He who sustains us. It is He who gives us life and breath in our lungs to praise Him, to glorify Him. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. Sister Tammy, Sister Yolanda, where's Sister Catherine? Catherine? Sister Louisa, come on up. And before you leave this place, if there's a need, bring your petition. Bring your prayer. Bring your supplications to the Lord. Did you know that God has the answers? It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. God sees and knows. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's seen already our life played out. And He knows what we're going through. He knows the burdens that you carry. He knows the issues of life. He knows the struggles. He even knows your enemies, and He will keep them at bay. God will sustain us. I believe God has a word. Let us all stand to our feet. And if you have a need, come on down right now. This prayer team has been in prayer. They've been training for the healing rooms that will take place at 1 p.m. this afternoon. But if there is a need right now, come on down. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Why? For He cares for you. And God has the answers to the issues of your life. And I want to thank and praise God for each and every one of you that have come this day. But if there's a need, come on down. Lay your burdens here at the altar.
Your presence.
Let God, hallelujah, touch you in mighty ways.
Yes, Father.
Hallelujah.
Your
thank you, God. Precious family and friends right now that it's logged in at YouTube and Facebook, but maybe, just maybe for the very first time you logged in and you're saying, wow, there's something missing in my life. This is your opportunity to surrender, to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're watching right now, I'm gonna ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ this day. And so, if that is you, it's not a coincidence that you have logged on. It's the providence of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, that He is calling you for such a time as this. So if you're watching and listening, bow your heart and your head with me in prayer. Pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is He worthy? Is He worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.